WKJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, it's partly cloudy and 61 degrees in Atlantic. We look for sunny to partly sunny skies today and a high of 75. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your Trane home comfort specialist dealer. Southwest Iowa residents who have an opinion about the current state of education in Iowa and Governor Terry Branstad's latest education initiative may want to attend one of several town hall meetings that are being held around the area today and tomorrow. Branstad and Lieutenant Governor Kim Reynolds will hold town hall meetings focusing on their education blueprint today in Mount Air, Bedford, Clarinda, and Red Oak, and on Wednesday in Creston and Greenfield. The governor has proposed the boosting of beginning teacher pay and holding entry-level teachers to higher academic standards. In his initiative, which was unveiled October 3rd, the governor set a goal of Iowa becoming the top-performing state in education over the course of the next decade. To do that, he's proposed linking aspects of teacher pay to classroom performance, treating beginning teachers as at-will employees who will have their contracts renewed annually by their local boards of education, requiring a minimum 3.0 college GPA to enter teacher prep programs, and requiring third graders to demonstrate their reading ability before being promoted to the fourth grade. You can hear about his initiative and offer your input at these meeting places and times. Today at the Mount Air High School Auditorium, beginning at 11 o'clock, at 1:30 in the Bedford Community High School, at 3 this afternoon in the Commons area at the Clarinda High School, and at 5:30 at the Wilson Performing Arts Center in Red Oak. And on Wednesday, Branstad and Reynolds will be at the Creston High School beginning at 9 o'clock and at 11 a.m. at the auditorium at the Nottoway Valley High School in Greenfield. For more information, go to www.governor.iowa.gov. News time is 8:02.
Part of making a major purchase is knowing what kind of service it'll require. For reliable home comfort systems, just look to us. Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your local Trane dealer. Bob Jacobson here. From major repairs, including new house construction, to seasonal maintenance, we can make your home more comfortable. When it comes to heating, cooling, venting, or plumbing your new home or existing residence, Jacobson Plumbing and Heating can get the job done right and in a professional, timely manner. How can I be sure? Because when you call Jacobson Plumbing and Heating, you'll talk with me, the owner, and I'm also the one who will be doing the work. It's my name and my reputation at stake, two things I don't take lightly. I'll do the work, and I'll do it right. Satisfaction guaranteed. Call Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle. Don't put it off. Call me right now. 877-838-8580. Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train.
Another Southwest Iowa roadway that was reduced to rubble by this summer's flooding of the Missouri River has finally reopened. State Highway 2 between Interstate 29 and Nebraska City opened to the traffic over the weekend. Dina Gray Fisher with the Iowa DOT says it means the end to another pesky detour for many residents and commuters in both Iowa and Nebraska.
Everybody's just so relieved. It's been a long time, over 4 months now, where everybody's trying to get back to normal after the Missouri River flooding, and I think people are very grateful of the effort of the contractor, the contracting process, to get this reopened so quickly.
Dina Gray Fisher says the DOT crews are still hard at work, meanwhile, rebuilding Interstate 680 from the Mormon Bridge to I-29 north of Council Bluffs.
680 is making excellent progress. The main line roadway, the traffic lanes, are paved now. Now the work needs to be done as far as getting the median in shape, the shoulders, paving the ramps. So there's still quite a bit of work left, but some major progress has been accomplished.
Months of churning water tore up miles of Iowa highways, crumbling the concrete, and when the floodwaters finally receded, some roads were left looking more like someone had dumped out a bag of gray potato chips. A chain reaction accident Saturday afternoon in Council Bluffs caused a total of $26,500 damage to five vehicles, but no one was seriously injured. According to Bluffs police, four of the cars were lined up at a stoplight on Highway 92 at the Interstate 29 intersection on South Omaha Bridge Road when a fifth car hit the last car in line. The initial collision resulted in a chain reaction which forced each car into the next vehicle. The driver of the car, which reportedly started the incident, 43-year-old Mara Ann Bonnet of Council Bluffs, cops told officers she also had been stopped at the light, but Bonnet was ticketed for failure to maintain an assured clear distance and for having no insurance. The driver of one of the vehicles involved in the collision, 50-year-old Deborah Larson of Honey Creek, had complained of chest pain following the incident, but she refused medical treatment. The other drivers were identified as 27-year-old Jeffrey Hogue of Minnesota, 64-year-old Lillian Irvin of Shenandoah, and 61-year-old Charles Matthews of Council Bluffs. A fire that began with a car Friday evening in Red Oak spread to a nearby structure, damaging the building and destroying the car. Red Oak police reported they were notified of a car fire in the 500 block of East Washington Avenue, and when they arrived, they found a 1993 Chevy Corsica fully engulfed in flames. The fire quickly spread to a tree, a stack of tires, and a shed. Well, Red Oak firefighters made quick work of putting the car's flames out, but it was considered a total loss. The amount of damage to the shed had not yet been determined. Both the car and the shed are owned by Michael Evans of Red Oak. And authorities are asking anyone with information about that incident to contact the Red Oak Police Department at 712-623-6500 or Montgomery County Crime Stoppers at 800-432-1001. The Fremont County Sheriff's Office reported yesterday that they had investigated two non-injury accidents and arrested one person over the past couple of weeks. 18-year-old Taylor Jackson Anderson of Sydney was arrested October 19th on a charge of second-degree theft. And in their accident report, the sheriff's officials said Ryan Casey of Riverton was driving a Ford Ranger pickup and had stopped at the intersection of 330th and Highway 2 in Fremont County before proceeding into the intersection, where his vehicle hit a car driven by Amy Blake of Farragut. That accident happened on October 12th. The other accident in Fremont County happened October 14th when an SUV driven by Karen Hagwood of Shenandoah pulled out from the intersection of Sheridan Avenue and Highway 59 and hit a car driven by Amanda Jones of Council Bluffs. No injuries were reported in either accident. The sheriff's report didn't indicate if any citations were issued. In other Western Iowa news, Northwest Iowa more specifically, a 40-year-old Sioux City man involved in a two-hour standoff with officers has been given jail time and a probation. The Sioux County Attorney's Office said Kevin Bush was sentenced Monday. Bush had pleaded guilty to going armed with intent, a felony, and a misdemeanor charge of assault with a deadly weapon. Authorities say he'd fired a shotgun at another person at a home about 5 miles northwest of Ireton on June 23rd. Bush was still at the home when officers arrived. He surrendered about 2 hours later without more shots being fired, and there were no injuries reported. Bush was given a deferred judgment on the felony and 3 years of probation. He was given 180 days in jail on the misdemeanor charge, with all but 45 days of that suspended. A 41-year-old Sioux City man has been given jail time and a suspended prison sentence for driving while drunk and under the influence of drugs while his stepson was in the vehicle. The Sioux County Attorney's Office said Bob Ray Schoenrock was sentenced Monday. Schoenrock was convicted of misdemeanors for operating a vehicle while intoxicated and for having prescription drugs without a prescription. He was convicted of a felony for neglect of a dependent person. Schoenrock's 9-year-old stepson was in the vehicle when Schoenrock was stopped in June by a state patrol trooper on Iowa Highway 60. Schoenrock was given 90 days on the misdemeanor to be served at the same time. His 10-year sentence on the felony was suspended, but he was given probation for 2 years. And an Iowa mother accused of killing a 20-year-old neighbor in an attempt to frame her ex-husband is going on trial almost a decade after the shooting. Jury selection will begin today in Fort Dodge in the first-degree murder trial of 45-year-old Tracy Richter. Richter was initially hailed as a hero after telling police she shot Dustin Weedy in December of 2001 while trying to protect her children from intruders. Richter claims that Weedy and another man who has never been found broke into her home and assaulted her before she was able to break loose. The prosecutor said that Richter fatally shot Weedy at her home in the northwest Iowa town of Early, then concocted a story planted evidence to suggest that he was a hitman hired by her first husband. Taking a look at our world headlines at this hour, rescuers in Turkey have freed a woman who was trapped in the rubble of an apartment building after earlier pulling her 2-week-old daughter out alive. Officials say the death toll in Sunday's quake is now at 370, with more than 2,000 buildings having collapsed. Details are emerging about the final days of Muammar Gaddafi. A regime insider who's now in custody said Gaddafi spent his final weeks moving from one hideout to another in his hometown, alternating between rage and despair. The source says Gaddafi, his son, and about 24 diehard loyalists were mostly cut off from the world while they were on the run. Meanwhile, an official said Gaddafi's body was buried today in a secret location. Hurricane Rina has strengthened to a Category 2 storm as it swirls off Central America's Caribbean coast. A hurricane watch is in effect for part of Mexico's Yucatan Peninsula. Rina's forecast track shows it possibly curving toward Cuba in the next few days, but forecasters say it could also move towards southern Florida. Police in riot gear have moved in and begun clearing anti-Wall Street protesters from the plaza in front of Oakland's City Hall, that's Oakland, California, where they've been camped out for about 2 weeks. City officials warned the protesters last week that they were breaking the law and could not stay in the encampment overnight. And stock futures have been modestly higher today ahead of reports on consumer confidence, home prices, and corporate earnings. Strong earnings reports has helped the S&P 500 rise more than 11% since early this month. News time is 8:11.
Last week, Mark became the proud father of twins.
Look, pumpkin silk diapers.
Like any new father, he wants the best for his girls. So he also became the proud owner of a Trane central cooling system. It keeps Mark's whole house cool and comfortable, no matter how hot it gets outside.
Doesn't that feel good?
And since Trane systems can also lower energy costs, there's more for the college fund.
Ivy League, of course.
When they say expect more from a Trane, they back it with over 90 years of industry-leading innovation, engineering, and manufacturing excellence. Hi, this is Bob Jacobson, owner of Jacobson Plumbing, Heating, and Fontenelle, your area Trane dealer. You know the true Trane difference? You, your family, your comfort, and what it means most to us is providing better, healthier air for those that mean the most to you. Shouldn't that be reason enough to call me now at 877-838-8580? Call me now and let me show you how you can save money with a new Trane home comfort system. 877-838-8580. Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a Trane.
In the funeral announcements, Nadine Nielsen, age 85, of Avoca, died Friday. Funeral services for Nadine Nielsen will be today at 10 o'clock at Trinity Lutheran Church in Avoca. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has arrangements. Marvin Dominic, age 83, of Sioux City and formerly of Audubon, died Friday. A massive Christian burial service for Marvin Dominic will be today at 10:30 at St. Patrick's Catholic Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has arrangements. Doreen Janet Gilliam Hubbard of Menlo, age 69, died Friday. Funeral services for Doreen Hubbard will be today at 10:30 at the First Congregational Church in Stuart. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stuart has arrangements. Dorothy C. Mulligan, age 96, a Defiance resident, a former Defiance resident, died Friday at the Elmcrest Retirement Home. A massive Christian burial service for Dorothy Mulligan will be today at 10:30 at St. Peter's Catholic Church in Defiance. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. Wilbur Pete Hoskins, age 83, of Nevinville, died Thursday in Winterset. Funeral services for Pete Hoskins will be today at 11 o'clock at the Orient United Methodist Church. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Junior Wollenhouse, age 84, a longtime Atlantic resident, died Friday at the Heritage House in Atlantic. Funeral services for Junior Wollenhouse will be this afternoon at 2:30 at the First United Methodist Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home of Atlantic has the arrangements. William Bill Blazik, age 69, of Fontenelle, died Saturday at the Good Samaritan Society in Fontenelle. Memorial services for Bill Blazik will be held tomorrow at 11 a.m. at the Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle. And Terry Lee Anderson, age 66, of Minden, died Sunday. Funeral services for Terry Anderson will be on Friday at 10 o'clock at the Minden United Church of Christ, with the Pauly Jones Funeral Home of Avoca in charge of arrangements. There's more news online at KJAN.com. Our news this hour brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a Trane. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.